Well, it is good to be back with you today, and we're starting a series entitled Dumb Things Smart Christians Believe. I was going to have a testimony today, but the list was too long to pick from, and my name was on the top of that list, so. But it is good to be back from Mexico. I did not get any swine flu while I was there. I heard after the service the last Sunday I was here that they've discovered a cure for swine flu. It comes in an ointment that you... Thank you, Shari Medcalf, for that word. Anyway, just seeing if you're awake back there. We spent a week in Zihuatanejo, Ixtapa. I discovered that Zihuatanejo in Spanish means lazy preacher. But anyway, it was a great week, and we had a wonderful time. Learned to say, Dios te bendiga, which means God bless you. And it was a great opportunity to spend some time with my family. And it was kind of a graduation trip for my daughter who's just finished high school. So continue to pray for us as we continue the journey as parents in this life. I'm starting this series today entitled Dumb Things Smart Christians Believe. And if you've seen the posters, you'll discover that I'm going to be out a couple more weeks for another vacation thing. And then I'm going to be gone 2 weeks to the Philippines. But I've included my supplies in this series. So they're going to be preaching some dumb things as well. Dr. Ben Smith is going to be here the next time I'm out. And he's going to be preaching. A longtime friend, I've known him for 20-something years. He was pastor of Lakeland in Louisville 32 years. And a great man of God. You'll be blessed to hear Dr. Ben Smith. And then Dr. Brown will be back and complete the series in Dumb Things those last 2 weeks. And I know you'll be blessed to have him. And I encourage you to attend all of these opportunities. The message this morning is, as you see, Liar, Liar, Pants on Fire, which is really in reference to the one who is really the greatest liar of all, and his pants and other things are on fire too. But anyway, I'm starting this series by this title today. After a book by the same name by Larry Osborne, his book is really 10 Dumb Things Smart Christians Believe. When I began to contemplate this series, I've discovered how many books there were on dumb things that Christians believe. So I've tried to narrow it down. We've only picked, I think, 7 in this series. Someone has well said that if ignorance was bliss, then the world should be a much happier place. Here's a list, and you realize that believing dumb things is not relegated to Christians. It's really a comprehensive human problem or opportunity. Here's a short list of some of the dumbest questions. There's a longer list, don't have time, of questions asked at Banff National Park in Canada. Okay? Dumb questions or silly questions asked to the people operating the camp, that Banff National Park in Canada. Here's one of them. How do the elk know they're supposed to cross at the elk crossing signs? You know, honestly, I don't know how they know how to cross. Anyway, here's another one. Ask it there. At what elevation do elk become moose? Here's another one. Is there anywhere I can see the bear's pose? Here's the last one from dumb list from there. Where do you put the animals at night? Okay, here's some dumb questions asked on cruise ships. Are you ready? What do you do with the beautiful ice carvings after they melt? You know, I'd never thought about that. Here's one. Ask on a cruise ship, at what elevation are we at? Sea level. Sea. Here's one. What time is the midnight buffet? I bet they figure that one out really quick. Here's one. There's a photographer on board who takes pictures and displays them the next day. The question was asked, if the pictures aren't marked, how will I know which ones are mine? I don't know. There's a very large publishing industry built on the assumption that there's a massive amount of humanity that has some problems with dumbness. There's a whole series, multiple books written to dummies. You know, something for dummies? Okay, confession time. Has anybody here ever bought a book of something for dummies? Lift your hand. Here's a short list of books for dummies. I mean, it was too long. Following Instructions for Dummies. Now, if that's a difficulty, how could you read a book on following instructions? Lawsuits for Dummies. I almost hate to mention this because there's so much that could be said that I'm going to restrain myself from saying. Here's one. Voting for Dummies. I'm not saying that boatload of things that could be said. Here's one. Dog training for Dummies. I don't know whether that's for the dogs or the... I don't know. And this one hits me at several levels. Neurosurgery for Dummies. Now, if you walk into your doctor's office and you see that on the shelf, not a good sign, I'm thinking. Neurosurgery. Well, what about what smart Christians believe? I know you've got your own list, but please, we don't have the time. What about some dumb things that smart Christians might believe? Cleanliness is next to godliness. God helps those who help themselves. Money is the root of all evil. That's not what it says. God brings good luck. Life should be easy. Life should be fair. What do we say a couple weeks ago? I don't want it to be fair. People are basically good. Here's a marital belief that's common, that smart people believe. If it takes hard work, we must not be right for each other. Where do we get that? God is love, so He doesn't care what I do. If I pray enough and work on it, someday my problems will go away. It's called, if you're a Christian, it's called death. Here's one. Common, pervasive. God wants me to be happy. It's gotten kind of quiet in here. The text for this morning, it was this text that we read just a few moments ago, John 8:31. I'll just passingly refer it to you again. We stood and read it a moment ago. We'll not do so now. To the Jews who had believed in Him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teachings, you are really my disciples, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." The key to confronting the falsehoods we tend to believe is to know the truth, to believe the truth, respond to the truth, and then you will be set free. And one of the greatest freedoms from which we are set free by knowing the truth is not attempting to live our lives on falsehoods. Let me say that again. One of the greatest blessings of knowing the truth that discovers freedom is that we're free from trying to live our Christian faith on things that are not so. How often have we frustrated ourselves
and holding God accountable for operating in some way that we expected Him to when He never told us to expect Him to operate in that way. And when He does not respond in the way we expect Him to, then we act frustrated, or we attempt to live in a certain way that God says, I've never asked you to do that. Why are you doing it that way? Why are you thinking those thoughts? We discover that our lives' responses are based on belief systems, and many of those belief systems are based on this world and not the things of God. You see, there are things in our world known as urban legends. They're pervasive. Matter of fact, there's even a website where you can go to check them out, snoops.com. Now, I started to give you some examples of common urban legends that Snoops indicates that are not so. But as I read them, I felt like if I read those to you, any of them, then somebody would come up after the service debating with me whether that was really false or not, because they sound so truistic. You see, that's the problem with urban legends, because somebody that sent them to us that said that we think that they should know that what it's true or not, and it becomes so commonplace in the swirl of human experience that everybody begins to accept things on face value, because everybody tends to accept it as if it is so. There are also spiritual urban legends, the things that we've just mentioned, spiritual urban legends. You see, it's a belief. To believe a spiritual urban legend is not just a harmless misunderstanding. Spiritually dangerous and critically destructive thought pattern that could hamper and inhibit your effectiveness as a Christian and your ability to experience fully all that Christ died to give. You see, to believe falsehood and not the truth is to miss out on some of God's richest and best for your life. Hear me, this series is not about attacking people who believe these things, because we all believe things that are not so at some level or have. This series is about a critical evaluation of the things that we all tend to believe. As you see in your worship notes, Dr. Benjamin Wilker states in that book, I love the title, 10 Books That Screwed Up the World. The rest of that title is, and five others that didn't help. He says, ideas have consequences, then bad ideas have bad consequences. Let's hope we can discover how to avoid falling into this group, which Jesus said, you do err, you're mistaken, not knowing the scripture or the power of God. You see, they have some false beliefs out of which they were operating, and they were responding to Jesus on those false beliefs, and those false beliefs were two. They were biblical and they were personal. You don't know the scripture, and henceforth you don't know God as He is, and therefore you have a limited view of the capability and power of God, and you're operating on a lifestyle void of all the resources that God Himself is. There's going to be 4 points. You see all these fill in the blanks. Let's go quickly. First of all, understand that we live in a world of falsehoods, delusions, misrepresentations, and deceptions. It's a world of falsehoods. John 8:44. You are of your father, the devil. Wherever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Speaking of Satan, Lucifer, the evil one. He is the perpetrator of the falsehoods originally and at some level. And then Colossians 2:8, see to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the traditions of men, according to the elementary principles of this world, rather than according to Christ. Our sinful condition, sin entered humanity through the stupidity of Satan. The original stupid belief that Satan had that started this all is that he could become like God. That is a dumb
You say, that's a harsh word. There are places in Scripture where the word is used as foolishness. And it's in the original language, it means dumb or stupid. Foolishness. Foolhardy. To be a fool. To believe those things. And when sin entered the human race through Eve, she thought she could become as God as well, knowing good and evil. She first questioned God's word when he said, you eat it, you shall die. She undermined his authority by disbelieving what God said to her. And then she thought she would know between good and evil. She's going to know as much as God. Do you recognize that we are immersed in a world that's constantly communicating false things, dumb things, and that we in our nature, in our humanity, and in our culture, we are compelled humanly to pursue dead ends. It happens all the time. Advertising, commercials, billboards, communication, on and on and on and on. We are telling each other things that are not so. Let me give you some examples. First of all, stuff will make you happy. Stuff will make you happy. Now, I know no one here has ever been susceptible to that particular temptation. Our satisfaction comes from having the more stuff, or the newer stuff, or the latest stuff. I was listening. How in the world do some of these product lines hope to make so much money when they're reproducing something very similar to what you still have? Like the newest iPhone. I was listening to all, you know, the last iPhone that they sold, the crowds became so massive, people spending the night camping out at the stores to get them, that the company decided that you could pre-order online so that they wouldn't have a shortage, and you could go, you would have a guaranteed of getting one when it became of date. And people throw away the old iPhone so they can get the new iPhone. And what is this, version 3 now? Version 3 of the iPhone. You throw away the first iPhone that you spent $600 for and discovered that you could get it for two or whatever it was. And then the new iPhone came out. Now the new iPhone's coming out. It never ends. It's based on the presumption, this will make you happy. You will be cool. Your acceptance in culture and society. You're in. You can waste more time now than you could more effectively ever before. Now, please, if you just, I don't know when it went on sale, if you got one and showed it to five people before the service. What I'm saying to you is, we're all in the same boat. Yours may be the iPhone. Mine may be, I got to get this lure or whatever it might be. Stuff. You see, in 1 John 2:15, it says, do not love the world, this is not on your screen, nor the things in the world, for all that is in the world is, these are the three things listed, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the sinful pride of life. You know, Satan's temptations, he doesn't have a new bag of tricks. He's using the old bag of tricks because they still work. And the old bag of tricks are listed in these three things. The lust of the flesh is the temptation to feel. It's all about passion, feeling. This touches on sexuality. This is, in its purest form, comes under the term of hedonism, seeking pleasure for its own sake. How often do we think that pleasure in and of itself, at whatever form, is really the ultimate fulfillment of my soul? The lust of the eyes is the temptation to have. I see it. I want it. This is possessions. This is materialism. This is based living based on the size of your salary. The third is the pride of life, the temptation to be. I want to be important. This is position. This is status. At its basic level, the pride of life is secularism, which says this, I can do life without God. I want to tell you something. If I had time, you could bring up multiple. Pick any advertisement on the television. Often they use sexuality. They use materialism. You got to get the latest and greatest. And no longer is it how much is it really costing? It's what's the monthly payment?
Stuff never satisfies. How many people who are billionaires or millionaires have taken their own life because stuff never satisfies? And we as Christians ought to know better. And yet in our humanity and in our sinfulness, we can believe that dumb thing and pursue it for its own sake. Now let me hasten to say just quickly that a Christian recognizing rightly that every resource comes from God and surrendering it back unto God and living his or her life under the glory of God is the one who should be able to enjoy the most out of the things that God does provide, because we recognize it's just stuff. It comes and it goes, and your heart is not attached to it. Let's move on. Admit that we're all susceptible to cultural, sinful, family, and satanically influenced beliefs. Acts 17:23. For while I was passing through and examining the objects of your worship, I also found an altar with this inscription: to an unknown God. Therefore, what you worship in ignorance, this I proclaim to you. Ignorance can be the result of lack of information. Our self-induced ignorance is a result of rejecting the information you do have. That is a conditioning ignorance. And let me tell you something. Once truth revealed is rejected, and the lifestyle based on the ignorance or the rejection of truth, the mindset of that lifestyle that's based on rejecting the truth, it's amazing how that mindset and that heart passion perpetuates a thinking pattern of falsehood, because it's based on rejection of truth. When we were in Mexico, we prayed over our food as we always do. And one of the gentlemen came up to me. We had a guide for a little thing. And he said, what faith are you? And I said, Baptist or Baptista. And he said, oh, he had heard of that. And he said, are you required to pray over your food by your faith? That told you a whole lot about a false belief system, didn't it? I said, oh, no. We do it because we realize everything we have comes from God. And we're thankful for God providing what we have. A whole life based on the obligation of duty. How many Christians live their Christian life? Do you show up Sunday morning because it's an obligation? You know, I've talked to a lot of ladies. It's not always ladies, but it tends to be more so ladies, who may be married to a man who is spiritually disinterested, either because he claims no faith or claims a faith but shows no evidence of the faith that he claims, and therefore she comes to church by herself. And so often the statements has been made by ladies in that place is, I can't get my husband to come to church. I am always quick to say, where did you get that it was your responsibility to get your husband to come to church? Show me in the Bible anywhere where it says you miss some stars in your crown because you can't get him to get in the car and come to church. Nowhere. That's a false belief, you see. Nowhere in Scripture does it say you're responsible to getting your husband to do anything. The Scripture says you're to live a quiet and holy life before him. It's who Jesus is in you in relationship to him. It's not about browbeating him, guilt tripping him, beating him up, making him feel bad, withholding relational issues as a means of demotivating him or motivating him to come do things because you're bartering
parts of your relationship to get... Listen, that is wrong. That is wrong. You see, that's a false belief. And yet how many ladies drag themselves around feeling guilty because they think they're a spiritual failure because of something that is only the man's responsibility to begin with? How many of us live our lives like that? We pound ourselves with expectations about our role or responsibility when God's wanting to say, would you stop thinking that? I didn't say that in here. I haven't led that in your spirit. That's something you've picked up along the way, and you're beating yourself up with something that I have no part of. Is there such thing as false guilt? Absolutely there is. And listen, I am for experiencing every level that's Holy Spirit-driven guilt, because that leads us to purity and repentance. But false guilt is Satan's tool to waste time with real issues. Need to move on. We must admit that we're all susceptible. We all are. Number three, pray for spiritual illumination and discernment. John 16:13. But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth. Let me give you an example. This is personal. As your pastor and the leader of this church, I constantly wrestle with certain things about direction, scope, and what to do and what not to do and how to do it and when should we do it and how do we pay for it when we do it, or influences in the community, society, state, nation, all of those things. We talk about in staff. What does God want us to do? How do we do it? What, you know, all of those things. And I wrestle with my sense of responsibility under God about what it is He's saying to me to say to you for us to do in response to obedience to Him. And I have to step back at times because it's so easy for me to beat myself up. And listen, Satan loves that. He'll give you the biggest hammer. Whack, just keep whacking. And that's too small. Try this one. Boom, boom. Listen, we all do that. But we have to begin to ask, God, what are You saying? That's all I want to do. Not what they're saying, not what this person is saying, not what we assume somebody else says. What are You saying, God? That's all I want to do. Just that. You know what I've discovered? My sense is we expect that God expects a lot more of us than God really expects from us at times. This is my question to you. When you struggle with lack of peace in your life, when a struggle comes, a heartache, a difficulty, a loss, a frustration, a job issue, a family thing, a financial deal, and you begin to go, oh, what? In that anxiousness, in that spirit of confusion and hurt and fear and all that stuff that boils up inside of you, do you ever pause and say, God, Your Word says that peace passes understanding is available to the Christian. That Your power is more sufficient than any need that we ever have. That He that is in us is greater than he that is in the world. So God, what is it that I may be believing that's driving my anxiousness that has nothing to do with truth? God, show me what You want me to believe and what I am to do. Have you ever prayed that for yourself? Ever prayed that as a parent? Ever prayed that as a husband or wife? Ever prayed that as a son or a daughter to your parents? On the job, when you feel imprisoned and you're caught between an ethical decision and a boss that may be asking you to do something that's not right, and you think, if I don't do that, I may lose my job, and then how am I going to provide for my family? On and on. Do you step back and go, God, what do You want me to do? We need to pray. And then lastly, number four, measure all assumptions against the Word of God. Acts 17:2-3. And according to Paul's custom, he went to them, this is the Bereans, and for three Sabbaths reasoned with them from the scripture, explaining and giving evidence that the Christ had to suffer and rise again from the dead, saying, this Jesus whom I proclaim to you is the Christ. Now get this, the Berean believers were believing the word as much as they knew of the word, and yet Paul comes and says, I'm going to tell you about the crucifixion and the resurrection. And they simply said, now they're getting this from Paul. And yet they go, if you can't support it by the word, Paul, they reasoned together according to the scripture. They were testing Paul's words against the word. How often have you gone to the Bible and you've read over verses because you already thought you knew what it meant? Or because you've heard what somebody else said they thought it meant? Now, I am for listening to godly people who preach and teach, and there's a history of resources from a conservative biblical perspective that we ought to rely on, but we take all of those things and say, God, you lead me by your spirit according to your word to believe your truth so that you can be the fullness of yourself in my life. Let me say something to you graciously. So often we are misled but the thinking systems of our own sinful nature, which is sinful, and a society which is sinful and godless at the core. And yet we do not saturate our minds with the things of the mind of God and His Word until we've developed enough of a spiritual filter based on the worldview of God's Word that when a falsehood comes and hits us, we at least go, now that doesn't sound right. There's something about that that's bothersome. I can't put my finger on it immediately. I need to check on this, what's been said there. Let me tell you, folks, you individually are responsible for what you believe. And you will be held accountable for what you believe. And you are the, under God, you are the CEO of you. And how you use your resources and your energy and your time and your talent and your abilities based on what you do. Listen, of study and reading and what you take in. Folks, we don't have to study the mindset of the world. First of all, we are part of it. And secondly, it's been pumped in all the time. It's amazing. People will spend 8 hours a day watching television, won't spend 5 minutes reading God's Word, and wonder why they're confused. Maybe if they reverse that just for a little bit, they'd begin to have a spiritual detoxification of our thinking. Let me say something to you today, and this is true of all of us. We are all smart believers who believe dumb things. Let's do better under God and encourage one another in this whole series together about praying, admitting, and testing everything against the Word of God. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you for this opportunity to see again how much we desperately need to depend on you. Lord, we are so immersed in falsehoods, we can't even identify it's false at times because we've heard it so much. But God, you can. You can lead us into all truth. You can refine our hearts. You can show us falsehoods, even patterns and experiences in our heart and soul and mind and our family traditions, God, that we've bought into things we've heard for years sitting around the Thanksgiving table with our extended family, stuff that's not so. I pray, God, that you would help us to realize that the fullness of life available to the Christian is based on what we believe and how we respond to that. Holy Spirit, I pray for us in this process, all of us, God, that you would sharpen and refine and deepen and clarify and convict and disturb and break through those lies that we believe. Satan's whispers through society and culture and experiences that are not so, and yet we've chased them, assuming success or stuff or achievement or status can meet our needs when it's never meant to. Please, God. Holy Spirit, do only what you can do in us. To discover the truth is not a principle, it's a person, Jesus Christ, and He alone can set us free. Enable us now to respond fully to You, God, in this time of invitation. To say, God, is some of the disturbance and confusion in my life simply based on wrong assumptions that I've held on to, instead of running to Your Word and saying, God, set me free, set me free. Set me free, God. Set me free. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.